Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So today in our first reading, we hear the cries of God's people as they recount their sins and they remember the discipline that God inflicted upon them because of their sins, and yet his benevolence and his kindness, that he has rallied all the nations of the earth in order to serve and to help his people, that he has brought them out of exile back to their homeland, and he is allowing the temple to be rebuilt. Here we hear the praises in the book of Ezra. I encourage you, if you have not read the book of Ezra, read that book in the Old Testament. It's just a few chapters. It recounts the homecoming of God's people. After being in Babylonian exile for some 70 years, they returned home. The first thing they wanted to do, the thing that they knew was the most important thing, was to rebuild the temple. The temple had been destroyed under the Babylonians. The one built by Solomon, gone forever. The Ark of the Covenant, lost forever. But they came back home and they said, we have to rebuild the temple. They built the second temple in order to worship God. Is it encouraging that the first move of their heart was to praise God, to give him true worship? That should be what's on our heart, to come to this altar on Sunday and as often as we can be beyond that in order to worship God, to receive from this altar the sacred body and blood of his Son, to receive the grace we need. Why? To feel good? Huh? Do you think this is about warm fuzzies up here? Huh? Do you think this is just some type of emotional satisfaction? Right? Some type of celebration and narcissism? Not at all. We come in order to receive the grace of God, in order to go into the fallen world. Do you realize, dear friends, our worship is called the Mass? Years ago, I asked high school students, why do you think this is called the Mass? Well, because a mass of people come. Wrong. Okay. I mean, I hope a lot of people come, right? It's called the Mass from that greeting, that dismissal we give at the very end. Ita Missa Est. It's difficult Latin to translate. It's actually very abrupt. It literally means get out of here. It's a command. You imagine if I did that in English, if I turned around at the end of the post-communion prayer, gave you a blessing and said, now get out of here, huh? Right. That's what Ita Missa Est means. It's to be abrupt. The priest, as the father of the community, is commanding the faithful to go back into the world. Go. Ita Missa Est. Missa became Mass. Our very worship is called by the name of the commission we have in order to go out and share the good news. So we receive the grace of God in order to go out. And do what? Live like the unbeliever? Act like the unbeliever? Die to our respectability and say nothing? Act as if we get along and we're perfectly content with the fallenness of our world? No, 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 no. We are called to go out and to be different, to be salt in the midst of a world that has become tasteless, to become light in a world that has fallen into darkness, to be leaven in a world that has become flat. We are called to go out and to announce the good news, to share the saving truths of Jesus Christ, to speak about Jesus, to pray, to encourage other people to pray, to invite other people to pray, to invite them to worship, to defend moral truth, to speak of mercy and kindness. We are called to go out and to live the Christian way of life. So imagine if you have never done so before. Imagine being at this Mass, perhaps having your heart convicted by the Holy Spirit, and to go out into the world and say, from this point on, I'm going to live my faith without apology, without disguise, with boldness. I will live as a Christian. Dear friends, that's what we're called to be. That's what we are called to do. You, the baptized in particular, how is it? How is it that your priests can work so hard within the house of God, the temple, to provide you with worship and the grace of the sacraments, only to have you go into the midst of the world and to betray him and the gospel? To look so devout and so holy, so virtuous and so eager to follow the ways of God within these four walls, but then to go out into the midst of the world and to sell out the Lord Jesus
to set out the gospel as if it's some type of trash. How do you take such a precious gift, the pearl of great price? How do you take that and go in the midst of the world and throw it before swine? How do you not want to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ, the moral truth, to defend the vulnerable and the weak, to defend marriage, to defend the good and noble things of the human family? But that's what happens. And do you know what happens when Christians lose their backbone? When Christians fail to give witness? Evil wins. Evil wins. The evil that has been destroyed by the power of the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What has been vanquished is allowed to win. Not because there's anything lacking in Jesus Christ, but because there is so much lacking in the members of his body who have been sent out to be the missionaries and the witnesses of the gospel, but who have surrendered to their own respectability and will not speak of Jesus. Why are so many of our own ashamed of Jesus, ashamed of prayer, ashamed of moral truth? When was the last time in your life as a member of the baptized, and you specifically are called to go out? My responsibility is to give you strength, strong teaching, the grace of the sacraments, and then you are to go out. You are to go out and to speak the holy name of Jesus and to give witness to his way. What happened? When did it happen that we began to treat Jesus as if it was some type of shameful thing? His name as if it was something to be embarrassed about? How is it that our society has become so comfortable with profanities, even blasphemy, but we, the baptized, are so ashamed of speaking the holy name with reverence, or of speaking about Jesus Christ and the gospel, to speak about mercy, kindness, the dignity of the vulnerable and the weak? Dear friends, if we look at our civilization and our culture, and if we are grieved by the evil we see, I pray that we are grieved by it, that we have to acknowledge as Christians, all this has happened because we failed to unleash the gospel of Jesus Christ. We failed to share the grace of God with our fallen race, with the fallen world. And that is why evil's winning. And that also should give us great hope. As it convicts us, it also gives hope. Because, dear friends, we can choose today to unleash the gospel of Jesus Christ, to begin to speak of him, to mention the holy name in reverence, to speak of his way of life, to defend moral truth. We can start that now. If we begin to speak moral truth and defend the most excellent way of love, our society will change. For there is a power unleashed by our witness that we can't even imagine. But if we continue to allow ourselves to be silenced, shamed, where we die to respectability, then our culture will continue to slide into barbarism, vice, and darkness. And we will get the society that we deserve. The choice is ours. God once allowed his people to be taken into exile, everything they knew to be taken from them, because they refused to love him or to trust him. I pray that we do not have a similar state of affairs happen before we wake up and realize what has been given to us, the vocation that we have been called to fulfill, and the responsibility we have to go out into the midst of the world and to share the good news of Jesus Christ.